Wow, what a wonderful morning. Welcome, Oceanside. Just have the privilege of sharing with you this morning, and just wanted to share something of what God has stirred mine and my wife's heart on. At one point in my life, I was a commercial fisherman, and I used to fish for tuna. Now, tuna don't smell all that great. So I would go out fishing for about 3 weeks at a time, way offshore, anywhere from 30 to 100 miles in the middle of nowhere. A long way away from land, a long way away from showers, a long way away from people. Me and three guys on a fishing boat. And I remember a couple of times, about one in particular time where we were out for a long period of time, and we were coming into land, we were coming into shore, and me and a friend of mine, we would keep our separate clothes. They were our town clothes. We'd keep them away from our work clothes. We didn't really want them contaminated. So we were getting close to town, and we were washing ourselves in the sink, trying to scrub ourselves down and, you know, get ready for town. We put on our clean clothes and tried to spray on some cologne so that we looked the part, smelled the part. You know, when we hit the town and we walked around, and people kind of looked at us a bit funny. And my friend, his girlfriend at the time, who's now his wife, she quickly let us know what the problem was. We still smelt like fish. So friends, I want to talk to us about this morning that we are the aroma of Christ, or rather, what do you smell like? I'm going to read from the scriptures and unpack this a little bit, because we do have an aroma, and I hope that your aroma isn't fish. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, it says this. I'm reading from the ESV. It says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ." I'm going to read it in the message as well. It says this, it says, "In the Messiah, in Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. Through us, he brings the knowledge of Christ everywhere we go. People breathe in the exquisite fragrance. Because of Christ, we give off a sweet scent rising to God, which is recognized by those on the way to salvation, an aroma redolent with life. But those on the way to destruction treat us more like the stench of a rotting corpse. This is a terrific responsibility. Is anyone competent to take it on? No. But at least we don't take God's word, water it down, then take it to the streets and sell it cheap. We stand in Christ's presence when we speak. God looks us in the face. We get what we say straight from God and say it as honestly as we can." This is Paul writing to the church of Corinth, and he's trying to encourage them and explain something about what it means to be the aroma of Christ, something about of our identity and who we are. And just looking at it and reading it, he's saying that it's Christ at work in us and leads us in a life of victory. In the Amplified, that life of victory, in that procession of victory, it's actually, it says that we are trophies of his victory, which is interesting because it actually goes to say that the victory is over us, that Christ was victorious over the things that we weren't. And there's stuff in life that we've struggled with, every one of us, that we are sinners, but Christ has made a way for us to come into relationship with the Father. And you see that it's actually this finished work of Christ in us that's dealt with this sinful nature in each one of us. That's the celebration here. And it's Christ, it's not us, it's not anything we could do in our own strength. And then it goes on from there and it says that as we go, wherever we go, whether it's to the store, whether it's to school, whether it's to the workplace, whether it's to our friends or family or neighbor, wherever we go, Christ in us, not beside us, not our imaginary friend that nobody can see, but Christ in us literally goes out before us, and the knowledge of God is revealed, and it's a sweet fragrance that seeps out of us. What a picture. So this morning, I want to talk about this aroma first as us as individuals, and then as us as community. My wife is going to come up and help do this part. Katie's going to come, and she's going to talk about community. But it is both. I think when we think about aroma, an interesting thing is in Scripture is in this passage, it says that aroma rises first to God, and then the others take note of it. The first reference of God having an aroma rising to him is in sacrifice. When Noah got off the ark, it says that he made a sacrifice to God, and the aroma of that sacrifice was good and pleasing to God. So Old Testament, it was sacrifice that was pleasing to God because that was the thing that made the atonement for sin. What's interesting is when we skip forward into the New Testament, we see the story of Jesus. Jesus died on a cross and he went to a tomb. Two ladies went to go find him, dead Jesus, in the tomb, and they were bringing perfumes to put on the body. But Jesus wasn't there, was he? The good news is that Jesus rose again. He was resurrected. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he intercedes for you and I. What's interesting is that Jesus actually became this aroma that was pleasing to God. It was him, the perfect sacrifice. He completed this work so that you and I don't have to make sacrifice. Isn't that an incredible picture? How many of you are glad you don't have to go home and slaughter an animal to get right with God? I'm telling you, I'm okay with that. I don't mind shooting a deer to eat it, but this is different. We don't have to make sacrifice. Christ was that for us. So when we look at this scripture, we as individuals are the aroma of Christ, and then we as community. I want to start with us as individuals. The first thing that's so important that we understand is that it's Christ in us. Christ in us. In Galatians 2:20, it says this, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You see, friends, we were bought with a price so that Christ could come and make his home in us, come and dwell in us. This is our original design. This is what we were created for. How many of you are glad you don't have to do it on your own? I'm telling you, I'm so pleased. And it says that God then leads us in triumph. The celebration is that there's a finished work that's done in Jesus and that we are that trophy of his victory. And where we go victoriously. And it's no longer us that live. We are dead to this sinful nature. Yeah, we're all a work in progress, but it was finished at the cross. You see, when we look at this scripture, I was reading John Piper and he was doing just kind of a breakdown of the scripture and he explained this. He said, Paul was defeated. And it says that he was taken captive by Christ. This is the way he's explained this scripture. Taken captive by Jesus, he was brought to faith. He was forgiven. He was justified and was made a glad and willing servant of the greatest general and king because Paul was in Christ. You see, this thing of us being a trophy of Christ, of his victory, That explanation of that, it's actually a word that would describe what someone does to their captive when they conquer them in battle. Friends, we've been conquered by Jesus, and it's a good thing. And in the same way, Paul says, I want you to have what I have. I want you to experience what I've experienced because God wants us to be led in this triumphal procession. It says that in Galatians 4:19, my little children, this is Paul again, and he says, for whom I am again suffering birth pains until Christ is completely and permanently formed and molded within you. He's wanting every bit of Jesus inside each one of us so that where we go, people see Jesus. Not just the likeness of Jesus. They see Jesus in us. Our very hands and feet, the words that we say, people see Christ. That's what God's called us to be. You see, it's through us that we get to bring this knowledge of Jesus, and it's that sweet aroma. I love what the word says, how we can taste and see that God is good. It's this wonderful picture between taste and smell. Because, guys, God wants us to experience him, that we would actually taste him, that our senses would take in all of Jesus, that he would come and work and move in us, that we would live and move and have our being. You see, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of us, but he also wants out for purpose. So the first thing here that I've mentioned is that it's Christ in us. The second thing is that when he comes inside of us, God begins to work. How many of you can attest to when you made room for Christ in your heart, that he begins to work? He does something in us. The first thing that he does is he works on our hearts, friends. It's the first thing. He works on our hearts. You see, God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to come and work in our hearts. And it's this love. It's an agape love. It's a love that we have a hard time explaining because it's unearned. It's unmerited. It isn't deserving, but it comes from a loving Father and it permeates into our heart. And from there, we experience personally, but then through the Holy Spirit, he wants out and we start to love others. And this is the relationship with God in us, because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, not you, the hope of glory. How many of you are glad that you're not the hope? It's Christ in us. See, he wants out. This agape love comes and it comes to permeate our heart and then into others. You see, it's so important that it starts in our hearts that we get this revelation, because in Luke 6, it says that it's out of the abundance of our heart that our mouth speaks. It's out of that place. It's out of the overflow of what's happening to us, our experience of Jesus, that our heart speaks. So friends, it's Christ in us. It's the love of God changing us and working in us and then working out. And you see, as this happens, and I believe that it's this experience of Christ, because it's the experience of us delivering and giving this love to others that actually causes us to say, wait a minute, I want more of Jesus. We sing that song, more of you and less of me. How many of you guys know that Jesus is better than we are? That people need more of Jesus, not more of us. You don't need more of Paul. You need more of Jesus. And you see, as we experience how incredible it is to share that, we want more. And we want to make more room for him in our lives. So this process of the aroma of Christ, it's actually Christ's aroma. It's his character in us. So the thing that happens, this next piece, is actually character transformation. It happens in you and I. And it says that as we experience him, we are then transformed. This is so key that we see this. It's not we heard Christ and now we are going to do all these good things. No, it isn't works, friends. The Bible says that it's not works, that our works are like filthy rags. But Christ in us is the hope. He is the desirable, sweet-smelling aroma that people want. When I think about character transformation, the word says that we transform our minds. We transform our character and who we are. It happens through two ways, through relationship with this God. So friends, this journey isn't just relationship on a Sunday. It's so much more. So it's relationship through God and through his word, because God wants us to be the image of Jesus. So when people see us, they see Jesus. In Galatians 5:22, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, because as Jesus works in us and he starts to grow and shape and mold inside of us and he fills us up, I just picture like almost like some goo inside of you, and it just sort of like fills up every crevice. So there's no more of us left. It's just Jesus inside. And that's Christ at work in us, and that's what he wants to do. And he works through us in our talents, gifts, abilities, our unique abilities. He works through our hands and feet. And it says that we then take on the character of Jesus. In Galatians 5:22, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, that they're love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Wow. This stuff tastes good. Taste and see that God is good. Friends, we need to taste good. We need to smell good. Katie, if you want to come up. The aroma that we give off is so important. You see, God's got us on this journey. How many of you know that you don't smell as good as Jesus does? Rest assured, we all don't. But we're on a journey. When we come to Christ, we start this journey. It's a process of sanctification. It's the working out of who we are becoming more like Christ. And it's our character starting to line up with God's character. And it's fun. And it's a journey that God has us on. But he doesn't have you on it alone. Katie and I were chatting through this message, and just some passion stirred up in her about how this works in community. And who better than my wife to tell you about it? Because, friends, God places us in community, in partnership to work this out together.
Yeah, that's good. Because we are called to be an aroma that brings life, the fragrance of Christ, the fragrance of life. In the text we're using from 2 Corinthians 2:14, I just want to point out to you, it says, "Thanks be to God who in Christ leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere." And I emphasize the word us because it's through us together. He places us in community. Paul could have written that he leads me in triumphal procession. He could have written that it's through me that he spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him, but he uses us because God places us in community and we need each other. And so there's a plurality, and it's exciting because we're in it together. And so as a community then, when we come together, if Christ is being formed in us and it's that overflow of his fragrance and his aroma coming out of us, when we come together, then that's intensified, right? It's like all of this life, what God is doing, overflowing. And so as a community, Paul and I are like, what does that look like? Or what does that smell like? What do we smell like as a community when people come in the doors? And so to smell like Christ, to have that aroma, to be the aroma of life, the fragrance of life to people, we need to keep, obviously, Jesus as the main thing. Him as the center, him as the cornerstone, the focus. Because without Christ, when we come together, there's no aroma. It's just a lot of human body odor, which isn't very pleasant, right? I mean, that sweet aroma, it doesn't come from us. We know ourselves too well. It comes from Jesus. And so he's what we focus on and what we preach, what we sing about, who we rave about, who we honor when we come together. And just this morning, I was just reminded. He was just saying, you know, this aroma, for people to experience it, it has to be authentic. You know, it has to be Christ in us working. We can't, he kind of gave me the picture of just even candles, you know, like a scented candle that has like the scent of like an apple pie, let's say. It's different, like it smells good when you light it, but it doesn't smell as good as a freshly baked apple pie that my mom makes amazing pies. So it's that piece of, there's that imitation, but what Paul was saying, but there's the authentic that you just can't get enough of. And we could light a bunch of candles saying, okay, the aroma of Christ, the aroma of Christ, and try to do it in our own strength, but actually we can't manufacture this aroma that overflows out of the transformation that Paul was talking about in us. And in that, and it says, through us, right? Through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. There's that community. So in keeping him the center, then we actually have to connect with one another because he's placed us in community. So a practical piece to that of a community that has the aroma and fragrance of life is a community where people are involved and connected. So a very practical piece this morning is get involved. If you're not involved, get involved. We say that we live life together. We want to do this together. You know, people often say that in church. We do life together. But life doesn't just happen on a Sunday. There's six other days in the week for us to do life together. So we need community. A great way to get involved, if you want to know how, is our Connect groups. They start up in 2 weeks. They meet in homes all around the city. It's a great way to get involved, to get to know people. Because it's in that personal. And why those are important is because we see Jesus valuing them. He spent time in smaller groups with people. He preached to the crowds, and then he spent time with smaller groups so that he could rub shoulders, so that you can speak life and be that fragrance and aroma in smaller settings and on Sundays. So a very practical piece is he's placed us in community, so get involved. Press in. Invite people to coffee. If you want to have friends and you're, you know, kind of like, man, I wish somebody would invite me to coffee, invite them first. Press in. Press in. There's space for you. There's space for you in this community, so press in, because we need you. We do. And even just with small groups, just a note is that they're not for the needy, and they're not for the super spiritual. They're for everyone. They really are, all walks of life, young and old. So I really encourage you to get involved in one. And then also to help and encourage other people get involved. So that can even be another practical piece, is just being welcoming on a Sunday. If we're that aroma of Christ, living, fragrant, fresh, we smell sweet, then we're warm and we're welcoming as people come in the door. We're loving people from the moment they step foot, because they're people, not because they're good, because they're people, and God's heart is for them. So, it's just exciting. You know, for me, this piece of community, it's so much more than just a preach or a topic. I've grown up in church. My parents were pastors for years, and I love church. And I've fallen in love with Jesus. And as I've gotten to know his heart, he loves his bride. He loves his church, and he loves community. This is the way. I don't understand God's ways always, but this is the way, one of the ways that he chose to do it, is that we need each other to live this out. To get discipled, to get trained. You can see here our mission statement for the church. We're gathering, healing, training, sending, and that happens in community. You can't do that all on your own, those four steps. You can't. You need people around you. I'm very passionate about community, so I'm going to move on because I could camp there. But just now, just to dream and to kind of think out loud together, for a church to be full of the aroma of Christ and of life, so we've got to be connected to God, Jesus, and connected to each other. And then from that, there's a whole lot of life and fresh fragrance that flows out of that. In the Amplified, in 2 Corinthians 2, the 16th verse, it talks about when it says, to the dead, the aroma smells of death, but to the others, it is an aroma of life. And then in brackets, it says, a vital fragrance, living and fresh. And so that's, even preparing, that's kind of been the picture in my head, is that this fragrance, it's sweet, it's fresh, it's like a breath of fresh air, it's vital. And so when we think of a church that's living, that's fresh, and a community that's living and fresh, it's loving on people. So just, you know, we'll kind of dream out loud, and we see this in community already, but we can definitely walk in more of it. And just that, so when he's the center, people are going to come in, and we're going to be talking about Jesus, we're going to be singing about Jesus, so they're going to get to know Jesus, because he's the main deal. Right? So it means that people are going to be getting saved. In a church that has the aroma of Christ, a community, people are going to be getting saved. There's new life. I've already talked about this, but it means people are going to be loved from the moment they walk in the door. It means people are going to be prayed for, because we've come throughout the week, and now we're overflowing. It's from that abundance of what God's been doing during the week that now out of the overflow we give and we minister to others, because we're all on a journey, and some are going to come more needy than others. Some are going to come needing more prayer, and some are going to come ready. And there's different seasons and times in life, but we come ready, we come prepared, we come ready to encourage. If we're going to be the aroma of Christ, that fresh, living scent, it smells like words of life to those around us, words of encouragement. In Hebrews, it talks about that they often say that scripture about don't forsake the gathering of the brethren. Do not neglect meeting together, but encourage one another. That's one of the main reasons, is that we want to spur each other on. And it comes out of this character transformation that's so vital, that out of when the fruits of the Spirit are flowing out of us, then we can love on each other. We can speak joy. We can speak kindness. We can speak patience. A church that has the aroma of Christ, that is living, vital, fresh. We're going to see healings. We're going to see people being saved. Christ healed many people. Just read the New Testament. There's so many stories of God just healing people everywhere he went. And if this Christ is formed in us and it's out of that overflow, then there's going to be healings here, emotional, physical. There's going to be prophetic words because God speaks. And there's going to be prophetic paintings and pictures. A church that's full of the aroma of Christ, that's living, that's fresh, is going to have young and old. And the old, the wise ones, oh, we need you, wise ones. We need you to come and bring wisdom and bring encouragement and show us how to do this. And young ones, we need to listen and we need to be ready and teachable and flexible. A church that's full of the aromas. I don't know, just this picture, and maybe you guys can dream with me, but if you think of what God is doing in us and that overflow, when we come together, that should just be even greater on a Sunday. It should just be, people can't contain themselves. You can't resist it because it's Christ in us. And we see that he's called us to community. And everybody comes ready and willing to give on a Sunday because we have purpose. And just to close up my piece here, in verse 17 of that, it says, so 2 Corinthians 2:17, it says, unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. In the ESV, it says, but as men of sincerity, commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. So we are sent and we are commissioned. So there's purpose in this. And that's Grant last week spoke so wonderfully about being a community on mission. So wherever you are today, you are on mission and you are sent. And we get to do this together as a community. And we don't exist just to be the sweet-smelling fragrance and the aroma of Christ to one another, as great as that is, because Christ is formed in us and he came to seek and save the lost. And so that fragrance is to spread the knowledge of him everywhere. Everywhere, and to have others experience this life fresh and living that is Jesus.
It's good. Such an incredible picture, isn't it? That we are the aroma of Jesus as individuals and as a community. And friends, that's our heart this morning, that we would get this revelation that it isn't us, it's Christ in us. And that as we come together, that God has incredible things for us on mission. And it's him at work. What a picture. Just going to ask if the guys at the back could put some music on. And just wanted to pray for us as community. And if you want prayer, if this journey for you is new, if you haven't invited Christ to be the one in you, if he hasn't become your Savior, if he isn't the one at work in your heart, please, friend, come up front, chat with one of us. Make that decision to put Jesus first, because the second that starts, this aroma starts. And it's incredible. And we want to invite you on that journey. So I'm going to pray and just invite you guys, if anybody wants prayer, to come forward. Lord, I thank you, Father, for today. God, I thank you for this incredible picture. Lord, that it isn't us. Thank you, it's not us and our works and our own sacrifice or our abilities, but it's you at work, Jesus. And we just want to declare your lordship over this church and in our lives, God, in everything that we do, God. May we be a sweet aroma. May we be a sweet and desirable aroma, God. May we be reminded that we carry you wherever we go, Lord. God, I pray for each one this morning as they leave, God, that your anointing would go with them, God, as you send them out into the highways, into the workplaces, into the schools, Lord, that you would be an aroma where they are, Father. I thank you that it's you at work, Jesus. And Lord, we just want to exalt you this morning and give you the glory and honor that's due your name. Amen. Just want to invite you up forward if you would like some prayer. Do remember that this week, Thursday, Friday, we will be right here again at 7 o'clock with Ashley Bell doing some ministry. So thank you, church. For your glory.